Hi, Sasha.
We're back.
We're back with another episode of Free Period.
We're back. We're back. We have such a good guest today.
I don't think anyone's ready. Because we are so excited.
She is a media personality, a humanitarian. Please welcome Ashley Marie Preston.
Ashley, thank you so much for being on Free Period.
We need to describe what Ashley is wearing right now. Ashley is in a trucker hat,
yes,
a la 2003, with spray-painted pink Ashley on it. And can I just add that you spell your name like the cool way?
Yes.
Like A-S-H-L-E-E, which is like, that's the cool girl.
That is the cool way.
That's the cool girl way.
Yes. So funny story about this hat, actually. So recently, Camila Cabello threw a 25th birthday party, and the theme was early 2000s. I think that was her version of like the 90s or the 80s. Like, you know how you do like decades. But the cutest, most adorable thing is that what most of the people at that party didn't realize was that this is actually second wave airbrush moment.
Yeah.
The first one was the actual 90s. And the only people old enough at that party to know that was probably like me, Paris Hilton, Usher, and maybe the DJ.
And maybe the DJ.
The still out on the DJ. But I think that that's so hilarious. So this is me channeling my inner cool kid that I wasn't at the time that this was popping. So
we appreciate it. We appreciate you are committing to the Free Period manifesto.
This is therapy, by the way.
Yes.
So we're going to go
time
travel back to when Camila Cabello thought was the 80s.
Yeah.
Who were you in seventh grade? Were you popular? Were you weird? Just tell us everything.
Oh my God, seventh grade. I first want to preemptively apologize to my team and my parents because I'm on like 1 hour of sleep. And so I'm probably going to tell truths in such a way that it may have fall out later.
Oh,
but
yes.
Seventh grade was actually an interesting time. So seventh grade was actually when I discovered porn on a floppy disk. On a floppy disk.
On a floppy disk. The only way porn should ever be discovered.
Yeah, so for those of you wondering, like, floppy disk, what is that? I am an elder millennial with a Gen Z glow. So I was actually alive and up and running when the internet started to become a thing. Or even before the internet, we used to play Oregon Trail on floppy disk. And
I loved Oregon Trail. I never survived. I died immediately.
Yes, I always died of dysentery, cholera, measles, a snail bite, a broken arm. I drowned. I got crushed by an ox, like all kinds of crazy stuff. And so this was before everyone had computers in their home, even like in school. Like, do you remember when computer labs were a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. My favorite class.
My favorite class.
Yes. What was the art thing? Was it pixel art?
Yes. Pixar was like pre-Facetune. Pixar was the Facetune of the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. So basically, I went to my friend's house and he had a computer. And that was a rare thing at that time to actually have a computer in your home. And so we were going to play Oregon Trail. And I think at that time, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And so I was going through the...
You were speaking my language.
Yes, like Budapest. She was always in some of the most exotic like places like Budapest. And, you know, I was just waiting for her to make her way to Saint-Tropez, but it never happened. But Where in the World...
She never got there.
She got busted before she made it to Saint-Tropez. So... basically, I went to, we'll call him Kyle. And so I was at Kyle's house.
Okay.
Yes. His parents wasn't home. And so we're going through the disc and I wanted to play the games. And then I put in this disc that was unmarked. And so I'm figuring like, you know, oh, this will be some kind of fun, you know, like that snake game or like it'll be something. There were definitely snakes, not the ones that I anticipated. It was one of the weirdest things because it wasn't like porn in terms of video. It was actually picture. And so it took a while to download. So you saw like the face and then the chest and then the
inch by inch.
And then it slowly came up and then you were just like, whoa. And we laughed. Like I literally cried for hours. Like I died of laughter and dysentery all in the same hour. Like I literally did not know what to do. And it was a joke that actually carried over into the classroom. So when we got back to school, we were telling everybody it was a joke. Instead of saying floppy disks, we would then start saying floppy dicks. And so one day, I thought it would be funny to see. I was always a double agent. So I was the teacher's pet and the class clown at the same time. That's like very peak Gemini. So like I knew how to like work the system. And so when I didn't know, I thought that my teacher wasn't there. And so as everybody came in, I mimicked her and was like, raise your hand if you still need floppy dicks. Raise your hand. And she was actually in the supply closet. And so she came out and sent me to the office with the referral. And so the class is laughing. Everybody's like, hee hee ha ha. And for those who don't know, a referral was this equivalent of a ticket that the police officer would give you, but you would have to, instead of going to court, you would go to the principal's office immediately. And they would usually call your parents. And so I went to the office and it was all fun and games. Like I'm like strutting out the class. And then the closer I got to the principal's office, I could feel like my heart was about to fall out of my ass. Like I knew that I was in trouble. And so I had to think quick on my feet. And so I started crying and I blamed it on my speech impediment, because I had a really bad stutter during that time. And so I kind of conjured up this accent that was something in between Mike Tyson and Cindy Brady. And I was just like, I didn't say floppy dicks. I said floppy disks. And she let me off. And so it's no surprise that later I ended up going into PR and marketing and crisis management, of course. That should have been the foreshadow.
This is genius.
Like, we were both goody two-shoes in school. Like, I was terrified of being bad in school.
Yes.
Like, I needed to get... Because I was afraid that my parents were going to find out that I was doing bad things. Mm-hmm. So if I had good grades, I could just, if I got caught, I'd be like, but my grades are great. So I've been doing crazy things, but my grades are fine. Like, I'm still going to be okay.
I'm thriving. I had the opposite, where I was obsessed with being seen as rebellious, but I was so terrified of rebelling. So I've said this before, but I would come to class wearing sunglasses. And every time the teacher made some like interesting comment, I would be like, oh, whoa. Pretending I was high, because I wanted everyone in my class to think that I was high. And then I would wear like I've told the story before, but I took Robitussin for a cough and I came to school and was like tripping and kept like pulling students aside being like, this is crazy. I was desperate to be seen as a bad girl, but I was so terrified of doing anything remotely bad. So it was sort of like, maybe that's Taurus behavior. I don't know. It's like, it was a costume I tried on. Wasn't working.
Was that the only time you got sent to the principal's office? Did you learn your lesson after that, or was that it?
I definitely did not learn my lesson. I later found different ways of, you know, getting into trouble. And I think what a lot of it was at that time was I didn't have the words to describe trans identity in the middle of Louisville, Kentucky in the mid-90s. So I wasn't even an urbanite, like, you know, an urban girl. Like, I was literally in Kentucky. And so I was always just searching to, like, reinvent myself, you know? And so just to try to be, so I couldn't, everyone was always like, oh, my God, you're so smart. And you're, like, so, in fact, people would say things like, you should be a therapist or like a pastor. Like you should be like a preacher. And I was also a rebel. And so I was like, no, like I don't put me in that box. I want to be like bad. Yeah. Like who was that? Christina Aguilera. Like I want to be
bad.
No, no, no. That was one of the.
Yeah. Oh, Danny King.
Was it? Who was it? Who was that?
No, that was, oh my God.
What I want to be bad.
Make that look so good.
Yes.
Oh my God,
got you on my mind. Never thought I would.
That was exactly it. And so.
Wait, I need to look this up.
I want to be bad.
Willa Ford.
Willa Ford.
Oh
Willa
my Ford. Gosh. Yes.
Shout out.
Yes.
2001.
Out. That was definitely. Willa so Ford. That was,
so you wanted to be bad.
So that was seventh grade for me, pretty much, was just kind of in this place where, and then also around that time, I was really big, you know, mind you, this was like Kentucky in 1996-ish. And so diet culture was huge. Like we had zero woke, but a ton of Diet Coke. And it usually paired lovely with a wedge of lime and a dose of Dexatrim. So at 12 years old, I'm literally up at 3 a.m. tweaking on Dexatrim and Diet Coke in the floor with my thigh master making paper mache at like 3 a.m. And my mother thinks there's a burglar in the house. And so she comes and she hears and she like comes around the corner in a baseball bat. And then there I am in the floor with my Suzanne Summer thigh master making paper mache, eyes bigger than quarters. And she was like, we're going to discuss this in the morning. Put this up. My hands are covered. I mean, that was, I was giving you every bit of Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore, like very ghost, like where they're like making the clay thing and they're just like having a moment. But I was just there all by myself. So I was that weird kid that was creative, but I had no outlet. And so between like diet culture and trying to reinvent myself and just trying to just like, I think I was just too big for Kentucky. Like my.
So you grew up in Kentucky.
Yeah. So Kentucky was.
When did you move here?
So.
Yeah. Like when was it? When did you make like the great escape out?
Yeah.
So I actually ended up moving to California at 19 years old. So like after I graduated. Wow. And this is really embarrassing. But the thing that prompted me to want to move here was the OC. Because I remember calling. One of my best friends at that time, and we would, this is like, again, these are the landline days, so we would literally, like, you couldn't even use the internet even without, you know, someone being like, hey, like, I need the phone, like, or if they picked up the phone and try to dial.
Also, like, can we just talk about the, what having a private landline meant to, like, when someone in the grade had a private landline? That was like, okay.
You were a star.
You're a star.
If you had your own landline, you were a star.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I didn't know anyone that had their own
landline. No, I definitely
didn't. That's like, that was like only in like Disney Channel movies.
No.
Yeah, I
know. And the fuzzy phones, like the girls who had the landlines were the girls with the fuzzy blue phones or the fuzzy pink phones.
Or the see-through phones. Like Clarissa explains it all. Like that era.
Clarissa explains it all.
Exactly.
The closest thing I had to anything like that was a pager that didn't work. And I remember this, like, big pager that was literally, like, it was the size of maybe, like, the smallest DVD player almost now. But, like, it, in fact, they even do DVDs. No, it's, like, blue or like, yeah, anyway. So I ended up watching the OC, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, there was just something, like, about coastal life and Orange County drama, and then like I related to Ryan, but then at that time I felt like I had more of a crush on like Seth, and so like Seth, like that like big curly hair and those like innocent eyes and those, I was like, he is like, all of my friends were like, oh my God, Ryan is so hot, and I was like, I mean, yeah, you know, Ryan's like whatever, but Seth,
I was never a Ryan girl. No. I was never a Ryan girl.
Never,
I was
ever.
Always Seth.
Me too.
Because he was funny. Ryan wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Also, like, we're like two Jewish gals.
Yeah.
And we were saying, in first podcast,
yeah,
we were saying, like, he was our Mecca. Like, he was our Jewish. Like,
he was who I thought I was going to get. I was like, I'm going to get married to him.
Same.
I need to be, like, a little bit older. But when he meets me,
also,
it's going to be over.
Talk like, about, like, he had a lisp. He had this, like, talked really fast and had this, like, it was a lisp, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a lisp?
Yeah, it was cute. He was so.
I was in. I'm so happy you're a Seth girl.
Yes, definitely Seth.
Seth girls for life.
And then not only that, even I remember when I used to get like so mad because like he ended up with like Summer, which later we began to see the different layers of Summer and her personality. But it was kind of like I feel like that was so realistic that I feel like Summer girls definitely need a Seth because like. the Ryan and Summer pairing, like that kind of thing. Even like the Misha, you know, Barton's character, like it just kind of like, I don't know, even like Misha Barton, I remember like collarbone. Like all I remember is like collarbone. Like she had these like pronounced collarbones. And so I remember thinking like, ooh, how do I, again, this is like the, you know how they have like that, like there was a movie called The Summer of Sam. This is The Summer of Suzanne. So like, again, all the fitness products, all of the, how do I get smaller? How do I make my collarbone pop out? How do I, you know, and she just always like, I was like, did they train her to do that? Or does she like have to like stand a certain way? Or she just always had like everlasting collarbone. And so if that's what it's even called.
Oh, I know. Have you actually rewatched The OC recently?
No.
Have you seen the first? Okay. It's crazy because I rewatched it during the pandemic because it was my show. Like that was my show.
Same.
That I would watch. I think it was the first show that I was like, I tuned in every week. It was like that. And then the first season of American Idol. Like those
me too,
are my
me too.
Two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
First season of American Idol I watched every single week. And The OC I watched every single week. And during the pandemic, I think it's on Netflix or Hulu. Like you can binge watch the whole season. And I didn't realize that the first season, they put Marissa through so much.
Oh my God. I have to
She goes through so much. Like I didn't remember. Like I remember when she, I mean, sorry, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched The OC, I don't know where you've been. But Marissa ends up dying. But I remember being so upset because the whole thing was that she like wanted to leave. And I being like, I mean, I was like 12 or 13 or 11 when The OC came out.
Yeah.
And I felt so betrayed by her. Like I was like, you, because we all heard the news, like Misha Barton wants to go do other things. Like
I didn't hear the news.
Oh, that's what I mean. If I remember correctly. Sorry, Misha Barton. If you listen to Free Period, I could be speaking out of turn, but I think she wanted to go do other things.
Wait, what news outlet are you?
Like there were celebrity blogs back then.
Yes,
like,
yes, fine,
you know?
Fine.
And I remember feeling so betrayed, but then rewatching The OC in the pandemic, I was like, of course she wanted to get out of there. Like they gave her like a drug overdose. Then she started dating a guy that was like a psychopath that wanted to shoot her.
Not Sebastian.
Then she meets Ryan's brother who makes her go through all these hoops. And it's like all season one. I was like, this poor girl needed a break.
Yeah.
I understand why she wanted to leave.
No,
we're talking about Summer's layers.
What did Summer do? Oh, Summer was fighting over Adam Brody.
Yeah.
Like with the other girl.
And it
girl,
was also kind
the
of
blonde
like the
one.
Mean girl with Who's, the heart oh. of gold. That was kind of like Samara. Her vibe too. Was like,
yes.
Yeah.
She's, you know, underneath it all, like she's really trying to grow and evolve and like learn about herself and like that kind of thing. But it was just really, 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 really interesting. And then it was this weird thing where, like, I was like, I thought Seth was hot, but then also, like, there, I was having a brief dad moment where, like, I was just like, okay, like, his dad, right, is actually handsome, too. So it was kind of like, you know, even, like, watching things, like, it was just this world. And so by the time I had graduated high school and had saved enough money and was just like, I was like, I'm going to California, even though I was probably closer to New York, I just intuitively, like, the Sex and the City bug never bit. So, like, I was just like, okay.
Interesting.
I'm going to go to California, far away from my family, far away from, you know, this Kentucky life. I'm going to be my own Ryan and kind of, like, cross the tracks and start over. And so, yeah, it was just weird. But being who I am now, like, it's really funny, like, hilarious. Because, first of all, some of the shows that I loved growing up, like, I actually know these people now, or, like, I'm connected to them in some way. So that's really strange. Like, even, like, the other, not long ago, I looked and saw that Larissa Olenek was following me, The Secret World of Ally Mack, or Alex Mack. And so I was just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, right? Do you remember?
That is a huge
That's a
deal.
Huge deal.
That show where she can like lick
Wait,
what's
wait,
off.
Are you saying Alex Mack?
Yeah, The Secret.
Yeah, Alex Mack.
Yeah, The
yes.
Secret World of Alex Mack. Yeah. So like she could like liquefy and like go under doors and like do all kinds of stuff. Like there, I think the story was like she got hit by a truck, or she almost got hit by a truck, and then all of this like chemical spilled on her. And then all of a sudden she had like superpowers, and she was just, but then like they were like looking for her to do experiments on her, the government. And so she was like dodging the government and learning her superpowers and like solving cases, all while trying to finish like her. Like,
so many layers.
Yeah, and this is a children's show.
Yeah. Of course.
And this is a children's show.
By the way,
and we watched every week.
She also was in 10 Things I Hate About You, playing the famous Bianca,
yes.
who says, I know you can be underwhelmed and I know you can be overwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? Which I thought was a very valid question.
That, I feel like that question described like maybe like my like, right before high school graduation, I feel like I was just whelmed. Like, I felt like I tried so hard. I tried to be cool. I tried to be the model student, which eventually didn't happen because I ended up having to do, like, an extra year. I was supposed to come out in 2002, but I came out in 2003.
Really?
In fact, 40% of my class, 40, came out the following year. So I don't know what we were on, but, like... Yeah, that was a thing. And so
you were on Alex Mack.
Yeah, I was just, and so that was really like the thing, like it was, and this was also like the Abercrombie era. So this was very much like the pressure was on. And so like eventually, and then especially being like Black in a suburb, and so, like, I was hanging with Abercrombie kids who listened to Lil Wayne, and, like it was just, like, a very weird time. And so, it was a very strange time. And so, this was, like, the time.
Was that what the cool kids were wearing? Like, because we talk about this, like, the cool kids in my middle school all wore Abercrombie. Like, that, if you were a cool kid, you wore Abercrombie. But I could never wear Abercrombie because my parents weren't paying it for it.
Yeah. If you couldn't do Abercrombie, some people were doing Aeropostale, but it was kind of like the Abercrombie for the more fiscally responsible families are the ones who were like, it was Aeropostale. And so it was, and then the worst was that I was barely fitting into Abercrombie's largest size at that time, because like I was on these like antidepressants, because like by that time there were so many different things going on, and I ended up on like, you know, medication, and it was really trippy because like also by that time your body's doing different things. I had kind of come out of the eating disorder phase.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, you know, goodbye to Suzanne Summers, hello to carbs. And so it was just really like an interesting time. But that being said, it was just, I feel like, my gosh, seventh grade through high school even, it was just really interesting because I think it was a lot of trying on different identities. And I think it was not having enough possibility models in Kentucky that made me feel that inspired me. And so I turned to TV shows, I turned to movies, I turned to music, I turned to, like, my life was a soundtrack. I listened to like a lot of Green Day, Sum 41, System of a Down, Blink 182, like, if I don't know if I said that, My Chemical Romance, like just so many. I was just like, it was interesting. Like, I was Abercrombie.
Were you watching MTV at the time?
Yes.
Or were you TRL?
That was like the peak TRL. Ugh,
yes,
what a time.
We were.
What a time.
So we would actually take the VHS tapes, and we would take paper and plug it in the top holes, and then you could record over whatever VHS it was. And we also did that with cassettes. So, right. We had our own personal collection, and this is pre-Napster and like pre-like you could download movies and videos. Even that, remember, like it would take a day.
Yeah. Kazaa.
It would take like a day, like half
of
a day to a day.
Oh yeah, it'd be like, it would take multiple days sometimes.
Yeah.
For a movie, it would literally be like 365 days. You're like, okay, I'm just going to keep my computer plugged in for a year while this downloads.
Hey,
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My best friend in eighth grade had downloaded, this is horrible to say, and I know, you know, you're probably friends with her, but my best friend had downloaded the Paris Hilton sex tape on Kazaa. And she, it had taken, it was like 4 days. She called me when it was starting. She called me the second it finished downloading, and she was like, come over right now.
Oh my God.
I, you know, my parents, I was like, I'm going to go to Lucy's house. Lucy, let's call her Lucy. I'm gonna go to Lucy's house. We're just gonna like hang out, like do like spa day, like masks. And then they dropped me off. Of course, they knew Lucy was a safe friend. They were not aware of Kazaa. They were not aware of the sex tape. She had the sex tape ready to go. She made sure her parents were like downstairs. We walked up the stairs. I felt like I was going to vomit on my way up because I knew it was so bad.
That was like your 8 mile moment.
I wasn't sure if I was ready to see.
That was your Eminem 8 mile moment where you were like, palms are sweaty.
Like hoodie, sweaty. Like each step felt like the tallest step I could possibly, like, wearing boots, like dragging in mud. I mean, truly, I was taking my time up those stairs because I wasn't ready, but I wanted to be cool and I wanted to be mature. So we sat down. It was her sister's computer and we sat down. I was co-pilot. She was pilot. She drove the ship and she pressed play and we watched it and our mouths were just like, we were shocked by the footage. I'd never seen porn in my life. I'd never seen anything. I had seen E Tu Mama Tambien, which I was obsessed with.
Oh, so you're like a it's intellectual porn.
Yep, it was intellectual. I saw that with
foreign,
my
foreign
parents.
Porn.
Saw it with my parents.
You saw it with your parents?
Yes, I did. We were not aware that there was going to be so much sex. It was so uncomfortable. Saw it with my parents.
I think that
knew
was
that by heart. Like loved E Tu Mama Tambien.
I think that was the shocker for me. Like, I actually did see part of that. And I remember just thinking, like, for me, it was about emulating, like, the art of attraction. Because I just felt like Paris was always art. And so even, like, Paris was my alter ego, even when I would catfish on AOL. I just have to name, first of all, that I literally crawled so that catfish could run. So this is like pre-profile pictures.
I need to hear everything about this.
Tell us everything.
So this is dial-up dating for those who are wondering what AOL is and like what this was like the early social network. So we had these like chats. It was just one big ass chat. And then you would just see ASL. So like that was age, sex, location. And so you could actually catfish through text. Initially, so you could just say, so at that time,
what?
I was like 15, maybe 14, actually like 14, 15. And so at that time, I hadn't transitioned. So it was M still. So it would have been technically like 14, M, Kentucky. So that's the format just to give people like an idea of who they're talking to. But really, but I would write 19 or 20 because like 20 was like 40 in my mind, so like it's like they won't know I'm underage
totally
if I say 19 or 20. Like I knew not to get too greedy, but like I also knew that in my mind 20 was enough to like be out of high school, have a whole life in college, which looking back I'm just like yeah no. And so I would be like, and just to make sure that I really sold it, so I would put something like, you know, 19 female, California, you know what I mean? Even though I was in Kentucky. And so, and then in my avatar, so avatars were, again, like, I know they're trying to bring them back, especially like in the NFT era, they're trying to like make it a thing, but we would basically, no one ever looked like their avatar. Like, not never. Like, not unless you were someone who literally worked at Abercrombie and Fitch, and so you had that spiky hair or that, like, whatever was on the frosted tips or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody really looked like that. And so, like, yeah. I was a whole different race, a whole different age, a whole different, at the time, like, I hadn't transitioned. And so I remember my catfish, you know, hustle got threatened when people would want to have a phone conversation. And usually what would save me is I could say long distance, and we weren't doing long distance, and that wasn't free. Like, literally long distance would cost you a quarter of your college tuition. Like, literally people were just not doing.
Oh yeah. It was so expensive.
And so yeah. I remember Paris again. I remember just thinking, like, okay, I'm going to just kind of go with it. Like, at that time, the mysterious, this is also like the Jennifer Love Hewitt era, so kind of like the mysterious girl with the big eyes comes to the party, you know, can't hardly wait, kind of, you know what I mean? So, like,
everyone stops.
Yes,
everyone stops. Everyone looks at her. My dream.
And so
never
she
happened,
never really
but
says
yeah,
much, but she just kind of like tilts her head and always has like the Pantene perfect hair. And so I was trying to like commodify that, but through the phone. So like it was like in my head, it was the Jennifer Love Hewitt vibe, but the Paris kind of like casual, like, yeah, so like, you know, kind of just like,
yes,
yeah, that's hot.
That's good. That's, yeah, that's really hot, good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm going to college up here, but I'm not sure if I want to, you know, stay. Like, my parents really are being hardcore about me, like, blah, you know what I mean? And so, but then all of a sudden,
totally,
my catfishing career ended when they started being able to do attachments through the AIM, which is the instant messenger. That was what destroyed me, because then I would have that. But then, quick on my feet, I started getting other people's pictures. And so where I made the mistake was one time I used a stock photo, and the person had seen that photo.
It said, like, Alamy at the bottom. Yeah.
Did it have a watermark? It had a watermark. Did it have a watermark?
I don't remember if it had a watermark, but what would happen is that we really should have held a national catfishing conference so that we could all get on the same page about what images we would use and what. So you had this like collective group of catfish, this school, we were a school of catfish that would basically take the same photo. So you had this girl who was floating around Instant Messenger, America Online, but I don't even know who this girl really was, but like she was everyone's. And so people would eventually figure it out, like, this isn't you, because, like, I've seen this girl, and she was 3 years older, and she lives in New Mexico, so which one is it, like, which, and it got to the point where it just wasn't worth the hassle, but definitely,
right,
that was, like, the wild, wild west of the digital age, is when you could actually catfish through text. Like, you didn't even have to, like, there was no FaceTime, there was no any of that.
Did you ever start a relationship with someone?
Of course.
And it go a long time?
Of course. And that was heartbreaking. That was actually my first heartbreak, actually, was because I actually, it was just supposed to be a pastime. It was supposed to be something fun, but then I actually ended up liking the person. And then they ended up liking me. And then it was just kind of like, they were just like, yeah, like, when are we going to see each other? And in fact, like, I'm actually, like, going to be, like, in town. And it was like, there was so much anxiety, because it was almost like you knew that it was eventually going to come to an end, and it was going to come, like, crumbling. But you just kind of, like,
yeah.
Again, it was my escape. Like, it was like my real life at school.
Totally. And you were so young.
Yeah.
You were like so young.
Yeah. I mean, did you cyber? Do you remember cybering?
Yes. Oh my God.
What's cybering?
Cybering. Oh cyber. My God.
Do you not know? Do you not know what cybering
is? What is cybering?
Oh, can I just.
Yes, go ahead.
Cybering is cyber sex.
Oh.
But you'd call it, like, you'd be like, wanna cyber.
Yeah.
And I was the queen of the cyber.
What?
Oh.
I feel like
It was where I escaped to. I was like, I can be a little perv and act like I'm way more experienced. And I would cyber with people and they'd ask me what the furthest I've gone is. And I would lie because I hadn't done anything.
Right.
So I could be this kind of very experienced, mature teen. And I mean, this is so sick, but I was cybering with like so many guys and then you'd see them at the dance and we wouldn't even make eye contact.
Yeah.
Oh, like you knew who you were
cybering? No, we knew each other. And then I remember, I mean, this is also like, sorry, mom and dad. I remember someone asked me how long my orgasms were and I didn't know what the right answer was. So I said 5 minutes. And I think I truly ruined this person's life because for the rest of time, I feel like this person would be like, I can never get her to have a 5-minute orgasm.
Sasha had a 5-minute, like it feels like this is a few seconds, but this is.
Totally. But
Sasha goes 5 minutes.
That seems like that should be like a Gatorade commercial for OnlyFans or something. Like if that could actually happen, like that's like a Gatorade plug. Like, could you imagine the level of dehydration and like.
Completely.
No. I can't believe I didn't know what cybering
was. I think
cybering.
The most interesting thing about even like, so a little bit post-cyber was doing nudes via disposable camera, like Polaroid. I remember trying to actually, I don't know, if you were looking for Disney, that's about 3 doors down. Like, we were advanced. So, like, we were doing things that, like, I don't know. That's why it's so funny to even see some of these, like, people. I feel every generation is like, oh, my God, the kids these days, the youth these days. And it's like, are we really going to play that game and gaslight and act like we weren't out here?
Yeah, no. Everyone did something bad.
Completely.
Everyone did something bad.
Even at some point, I remember one time catfishing somebody and then telling them the truth, even the fact that I was underage, and they were still okay with it. And this is like pre-Chris Hansen.
Oh my goodness.
To Catch a Predator, like, you know, tussling in the front yard. Like, this is like, it was so weird to me. And now looking back, being 38 years old, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, there are people who are my age almost who are too young for me. And so, like, I'm just like, what in the world? Like, what could you possibly see?
It is crazy. Like, my parents... Technology is so crazy. Like, my parents, like, I was lucky that, I mean, I feel like all of us are kind of lucky in the sense that, like, my parents didn't grow up with computers. When computers were introduced into life, they refused to learn. They were like, this is something that is so crazy. I don't understand it. Like, I would say AIM Messenger, and they would think that it was like a dish, like it was some form of new food that was coming out. Like, they had no idea. So I got away. Like, I mean, the stuff, I mean, I didn't really do anything crazy, but like, I mean, going back to downloading things, I mean, everyone was really scared of us going to jail for like downloading an Eminem song. Like,
yeah.
I was like, no, completely. I thought that I was going to jail, but like, same. I mean, we could have had our internet shut off. And I would just had that blind, like, courage to just do whatever on the internet. It felt like the wild, wild west.
But also, the internet was so incredible because the Eminem album could come out and you could go on, it was at lyrics.com or something. It was a lyric website. And what I would do is the second and I got an album and I loved when it said explicit, I would go online, memorize the lyrics so that I could somehow woo a guy. And so I would make it my job to go on this lyric website so the internet provided us with so much.
It really did.
What was that lyric website?
We are the first. I think that we are the last generation that remembers what it was like before the internet.
Yeah.
Like, I remember not having the internet.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the internet and being like, what is this? Was Tower Records your store?
Oh, we didn't have that.
You didn't have Tower Records in Kentucky. No. So you just had like your local.
Yeah, just like local. And the best that we got often was the internet. And I remember learning lyrics and then recording myself singing. Like, I would literally have like an actual.
Oh my God.
Oh, do you remember? Or like, you could, again, the Walkmans had like record buttons, and so you could actually Oh, take the cassette, put the paper in the top of the hole so that you could record over it. And I would just record in my own studio time. So you couldn't tell me that I wasn't like America's Next Pop Star.
There was also a thing that you could do. I mean, I don't know if they had it in Kentucky, but at the mall, you could go and there was like a karaoke station that you could go in, and like they had like a camera, and you had a microphone in this. It kind of looked like a photo booth, but it wasn't a photo booth. It was like a karaoke thing, and you could record yourself singing like "Oops, I Did It Again." And I've never felt more like myself in that booth. That was like my place where I was like, this is who I am. I can be Britney Spears for 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Yep. And then you got a CD afterwards and you could hear yours. I mean, it was terrible. It was awful.
Do you remember the website where they would do animated parodies of each song? So like, for instance, there was a show. So like, prime example, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way. And then there was one, I remember it was called I Want a Fat Babe. And so, like, they would actually, like, draw these, like, animations and like, redo the songs. But, like...
What was it called?
Like, Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al Yankovic. Oh, my God.
We need to find this website.
Weird Al. Oh, my God.
I know. I'm blowing your mind.
Okay. Also, can I just say, to this day, until you just said this, I thought it was Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al Yankovic?
No, I would go Yankovic, but it's Yankovic.
Wait, now that we're bringing this up, I'm about to blow Sasha's mind right now. I've never told you this story before.
Okay, tell me.
And it's so embarrassing. I never thought that I would ever tell you this story, but now that we're here with mispronouncing names, I thought about this the other day. I did a book report on your dad.
Oh!
When I was in sixth grade.
No.
And my dad is a foreigner. My dad's Bulgarian. He's not from here. And my dad would always pronounce your last name Spielberg.
That's fair.
With SH.
Okay.
But I did a whole book report on Sasha's dad, Steven Spielberg, which it's Spielberg. It's not Spielberg. And I had to, it was an oral report. And I went up and I was like, Steven Spielberg. And I kept on saying spiel, like, because there's also a word like the spiel, like, and spiel. I kept on saying Spielberg, and everyone started laughing. No. And my teacher had to stop me and say, it's Spielberg. It's not Spielberg.
Oh, no.
And I was so embarrassed. I never thought I'd ever tell you that.
Can you? Do you?
So we're getting closer.
That makes me remember every single time that I have been saying like a word for like, I'm talking 1 or 2 years, and then someone tells me that it's not that. And all of a sudden I instantly have a That's So Raven moment, like a flashback to every time that I've ever said it. And then nobody ever stopped me. And this is the shit that keeps me up at 3 a.m. Like literally having a flashback.
What 100%. Was it? Can you name a word? Is there a word that you can name off the top of your head?
Oh, my God.
Where this has happened?
I remember saying guacamole. That was one, like, instead of like guacamole. Well,
wait, say it again?
Guacamole.
I used to say guacamole, but I'm in L.A., so people actually will pronounce it like guacamole, or like they'll say like, I would say like, or I used to say jalapeno instead of jalapeno. I would say things
classic,
like
classic.
I'm trying to think. There were a few things that I would pronounce.
It's like your Versace moment. It's literally what was that movie?
Dance.
Not
Flashdance.
Not Flashdance.
It was Showgirls. Okay. By the way, another sexual awakening for me.
Was Showgirls?
Yeah, I use that to cyber all the time. I was like, I gave a lap dance.
Have you heard of a lap dance?
It's like, what base have you been to? I'm like, lap dance.
For lap dance. I don't think I've ever given a lap dance in my life. Maybe this is my new, in my 30s, that's my move. That's going to be my move, is just go straight for the lap dance. I would be so terrible at it. Please, if anyone's listening, don't ask me to do a lap dance.
Oh, let's ask her. That is so, no, I one time in class in seventh grade, I, you know when you have to read a paragraph from a piece of literature, and it goes, you go around the room and everyone takes a paragraph. Right. Did you have that?
Yes, of course.
So, and would you always look ahead? You'd count how many people were before you?
Yeah, the anxiety. I would literally be sweating. Same. Anxiety. I hated speaking in front of people.
I still do. That's why we have a podcast.
That's why we have a podcast. That's why we're doing this. This is great.
It's healing. And I would always count the amount of people before me, so then I'd count ahead to the paragraph that I would be reading. I'd rehearse it in my brain a billion times. And it still wasn't foolproof, because as I was reading it out loud, the word was misled and I read it as misled, which is classic.
Which is the Yiddish version of misled. Misled.
And I was like, he misled her. I mean, full. And it was, I was so embarrassed. And again, I have to repeat this. I went to school. It was all girls school. And I, you know, it was nice not having, because I was obsessed with, I was boy crazy, so I did feel very safe. But even at my school, reading Misled, like, if you weren't smart, you were not cool at my school. Uh-huh. And when me coming in with, like, sunglasses, being like, oh, I'm going to show them what cool is, like, they were, being smart was just the coolest thing. And I read it as Misled, and I was very embarrassed.
I think about these things constantly at 3 a.m. Schedule.
That's British. That's like English. Schedule.
I feel like that's like English. The proper way to say it, I think. I think you were right on that.
Right.
I'm going to give you that one.
I think it's like a British
schedule.
And I remember feeling so seen and validated when Nicole Kidman said it, and I think Moulin Rouge, and I was like, okay, so like, I'm not too like, you know, or is it like Australian maybe? Somebody says schedule, but like at the time they were like, no, schedule.
I can just see you watching Moulin Rouge and just feeling so validated. Like, you're like, and that one I can check off my list. I will never have to think about that ever again.
Yeah.
But also, like, when you say something wrong and then someone finally corrects you, I question my friendships. I'm like, I question every one of my friends.
It's food and teeth. It's food and teeth.
This is what you're here for. Like, yeah, same.
It's food and teeth.
Like,
tell us.
Like, please tell me. I will not feel bad about it. Tell me that I have like a poppy seed in my tooth, so I'm not talking to like someone, and I have to look at myself. I'm like, I am questioning all of my relationships.
Oh my god, really? That was like most of my high school. I feel like is this series of really traumatizing, embarrassing moments, and then feeling like, why weren't I mean, shit that was so traumatizing that it's like, great, now I'm going to have to come back 20 years from now and fucking Romy and Michelle this shit just so I can, like...
Yes. You
know? Remember Romy and Michelle's high school reunion?
We all created Post-its.
Yeah, I think what would be the
version... We all created Post-its.
What would be today's version of the Post-it? I think I would say I created...
It'd be like an app.
I would create... I created... Oh, no. Whitening strips. That would be my version. Teeth whitening strips.
Oh,
I
That's it. I sold whitening strips to Crest.
Yes. Yeah.
They came to me. I had the technology.
I created
and
the red.
I sold it to Crest. And that's why I can afford my lifestyle.
And a helicopter into this graduation.
Yeah, I'm helicoptering in. I'm doing a whole dance routine because I created Crest whitening strips. Thank you. And
strips.
Then,
you did
strips.
Awesome.
That would be the equivalent. I hope they never remake that movie because it's like a masterpiece, but I would love to see like what the updated version of Romy. We should
like
do
LED
it.
LED face.
Us
like,
three, we're going to do it.
Yeah, we should. And I think that would be a cute one to remake. I think certain movies, you just need to respect the legacy. Like, Bring It On. I remember when they tried to remake Bring It On. Mm. So I actually remember the original. To this day, I remember the whole cheer in the opening.
Oh, yeah.
Me too. Ready?
Yes.
I'm sexy. I'm cute.
I think
I'm popular.
I'm sexy,
to boot.
Yes. Boot.
I'm bitching. Great hair. The boys all love to stare. I'm wanted. I'm hot. I'm everything you're not. I'm perky. I'm cool. I dominate the school. Who am I? Just guess. Guys want to touch my chest. I'm rocking. I'm wild. And then you
think I'm wild. I fly and I jump. You can look, but don't you hump. Ooh, I major. I score. I swear I'm not a whore. We cheer and we lead. We act like we're on speed. Oh, I did the choreography.
Just so everybody knows, I wish you could see.
We are cheerleaders. Roll call. And I know the roll call, too.
Oh, my God. I wish everyone could see my face right now. That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Stunning. That was really good. That was...
What an amazing movie.
Kirsten Dunst that's something was like,
that's what I will say about us growing. Like, what an amazing time for movies. Like, 10 Things I Hate About You, Bring It On.
Never Been Kissed. Never
that was earlier, I guess.
Fine.
But Jawbreaker? Remember Jawbreaker?
I thought you were just about to say Jaws.
No, and Jaws? Yes. No.
It's so crazy.
There are teens in that. They get
it's
eaten.
It's crazy because, like, I'm actually friends with Gabrielle Union now. And Gabrielle Union literally looks the same.
Oh, yeah.
As she did in Bring It On. Like,
Oh, my goodness.
How even?
That is so
Clovers.
And then later, you talk about...
I begged my parents to let me go.
But you look like shit because we were the ones that were down with it.
Yes.
And so, like, I didn't even know that that was like commentary on cultural appropriation at the time. But, like, I couldn't even spell culture, let alone understand, you know, appropriation and, like, what they were trying to say in that moment. But I hate it. I remember just being, like, really mad at the Clovers. Like, let them live. Like, let them have something. Like, why are y'all so upset? Until, like, I became an adult, and I'm like, oh, I understand now.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we're Team Clovers all the way.
Because when they won, I remember being like, yeah, I remember being.
Oh, my God. Eliza Dushku, I wanted to be Eliza Dushku so bad. She was just like.
I wanted to be Kirsten
Dunst. She was like the female version of Ryan from the OC.
Yep.
Totally. I wanted to be Kirsten.
Yeah, Kirsten, I love Kirsten so much.
I couldn't believe that she brushed her teeth in front of a guy. That was like a big deal for me. When she brushed her teeth, I was like, I could never.
Also, how long they do it? They're doing it.
They're giving you a whole 5-minute toothbrushing.
That is the correct way to brush your teeth. Yeah. I am like a boop. And then
I know. I'm like, oh, they're really getting into all the crevasses. Like, wow.
Dental hygiene.
That felt like foreplay.
Yeah, 100%. I was like insanely so much anxiety of like, am I gonna ever have to brush my teeth in front of a guy? Like, am I gonna have to do that?
Because you look it's foaming at the mouth. It's squirrel.
You can't make
rabbit
it sexy.
Squirrel.
You can't really make that sexy. And then when she covered her mouth, oh, I will say when I actually did start brushing my teeth in front of a boyfriend, I would cover my mouth
and spit.
I would spit like she did because I was like, that's the dainty way because she's doing it like in a cute way. And I just wanted to be her. So I stopped doing that, obviously, when I like got older and I was like, now I don't care. It's my time in the bathroom. If you want to be here, fine. But I would when I was like cute and younger, I'd be like tiny spits with my
it's
mouth
like,
covered.
It's princess. It's
oh, my God. That was a whole moment. Yeah, I rewatched it with, I think it was Hayden Panettiere or Panettiere, like, I can't pronounce her last name.
Yeah.
Like, it was just not the same.
I didn't even watch it.
For the new generation, just like with Mean Girls, they tried to redo Mean Girls, and I was just like, they tried to redo the movie. I think there was a part two.
Oh my God.
And then they also tried to redo Cruel Intentions.
Okay, that
Cruel Intentions,
that's crazy.
They redid that too.
What?
That is wild. No, we need new energy, but same genre. New energy, same genre.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
I know we're coming up to an hour.
We're coming up to an hour. This flew by.
This flew by. Ashley, thank you so much for being the most incredible guest. We talked about thank you for opening up on Free Period. Thank you so much, and we need to have you back because I feel like we just scratched the surface. We just got going.
There's not enough. Like literally, we didn't even get to like the iPod era.
We'll get there. You have
we'll
to come back.
Part
if you,
we'll
do
a part
two.
Two.
If you'll have us.
If you'll have us
back in your life, we have to do a part two. Thank you.
You are so
much.
Incredible. It's just been a joy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Free Period, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Bye.